Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I am so glad to be here online with all of you today. My name is Abby, and I am the Director of Spiritual Development here. And boy, what a year it has been. Full disclosure, this message that I get to share with you today is a collaborative effort from our team, but I am honored that I get the privilege of sharing it with you this morning. As our pastor Trey said, this year has been crazy, and pivoting today is just another moment that I will mark down as I think about this year in review. It might take me a few years to want to review it, but that's okay. Today, I get to kick off our brand new series called Simply Christmas. As our team prayed about what to teach this December, this idea came to many of us. This idea came as we recognized that Christmas would be different this year for many of us here at Wellspring and in our community. Being online today is just one example of just how different this Christmas season is versus other years in the past. But 2020 can't change the fact that I love Christmas time. I love the holiday parties, the lights, the songs, the smells, and the food. I love it all. But as I have gotten older, I've discovered something about myself that maybe you can relate to. The busier I find myself at Christmas time, the more I find myself feeling like I'm missing out. I find myself asking, am I getting the most out of this? I mean, if we're being honest, when we think of Christmas in all of its glory, it's really just one big party. It's putting up the decorations and cooking all of the food. Growing up, my mom would work the whole month of December to make 31 different types of elaborate Christmas cookies. It felt like a cooking show every night at my house growing up. As an adult, I try to stick to only making 4 or 5 different kinds, but there's still baking that comes with the season. It's making gingerbread houses with my kids and driving through the neighborhoods to see the lights. It's making sure the letters to Santa get written and sent before Christmas Eve. And there's also gift buying and wrapping and dressing up in party clothes. Then they're squeezing in other obligations for loved ones and those that need extra help and hope at Christmas, because all of this is part of the expectations of celebrating Christmas to the fullest, right? But this word, expectation, is why when the magic of Christmas has me worn out, I miss simply celebrating the wonder that is found, not in any of these things, but in the person that this month-long party is for, and that's Jesus. Some of us love most of the expectations that Christmas brings. You answer the phone, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color, year-round, and Christmas is where you really hit your stride. This year, you actually set up your tree earlier because you needed that Christmas joy in your home as soon as possible. This year has been tough, and you have great expectations for this holiday season. But for some of us, this Christmas might be different. You have no idea how you'll measure up to the expectations this year, or maybe you already know that the expectations won't be met. They can't be met. This season is not going to look or feel the same. Maybe this year you became a part-time teacher and full-time working parent, or a full-time teacher and full-time working parent, and the idea of making gingerbread houses with your children makes you want to cry. Perhaps you got sick and you just don't have the energy or ability to do all of the cooking this year. Maybe the bottom of the tree will be bare because you lost your job or because your business has plummeted this year. Or maybe this Christmas there will be an empty seat at the table for a loved one that you would give anything to see again. Or maybe this Christmas feels familiar, but not in a hopeful way. Every year, expectations for different and better go unmet, and you find your Christmas spirit growing dull in the glow of the Christmas lights that seem to sparkle and shine for everyone else. I hope that today you feel seen and that you hear that it's okay. It's okay if Christmas isn't the same this year. It's okay if Christmas doesn't feel like a time to party for you. And it's okay if you are already disappointed in what Christmas and COVID looks like for you. Because the message of Christmas isn't about the party that surrounds this time of year. It's so much more. This reminds me of the Dr. Seuss story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is about a Grinch who learned a valuable lesson about the season. Maybe you remember the moment that he processes the meaning of Christmas, but it's one of my favorite moments in the book, and it goes like this. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? I'm with the Grinch on this one because the meaning of Christmas is something to ponder. It is so much more than things from a store and activities galore. I feel like when you read the Dr. Seuss books, you just have to rhyme. But it's so much more that I don't even think it's possible to truly process it all in a day, a week, or even a month. You most likely have heard the actual Christmas story from the Bible before, or maybe today this is your first time hearing this. If that's the case, I am so excited to share this amazing story with you today. So it starts by an angel visiting Mary and telling her that she is going to have a baby. And oh, by the way, this is going to be God's son. She's told to name him Jesus. Mary agrees to this and she becomes pregnant, but she has to break this news to her fiance named Joseph. Understandably, Joseph is angry and confused. He plans on leaving Mary, but an angel visits him in a dream and tells him that Mary has been honest and faithful to him. He agrees to stay by her side and marry her. Now, this seems like a slightly complicated matter at this point, but in the midst of all of this, a census is called by the Roman government, and they have to travel to a town far away called Bethlehem. Now, Mary is not just a little pregnant at this point. She is very pregnant, and she actually goes into labor when they arrive. No one in this little town of Bethlehem had room for these two, so they ended up taking shelter in a stable, which is the place where animals are kept. It probably smelled, and although stable was its name, stable is not how you would describe the environment that Jesus was born into. But Jesus was born. And when he arrives, a bright light appears in the sky, and there are some lowly shepherds watching their sheep in a nearby field. Now the scene is set for Luke to tell us the next part of this story. Luke is one of the authors that tells the story of Jesus' life, and his story of Jesus' birth and the aftermath in Luke 2 is arguably one of the most told versions. Verse 9 starts, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David.'" Now, the shepherds have heard some great news, and what the angel says next is an invitation to be a part of this party. "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." They get to go see this brand new baby. Now, I know I've shared a couple of my favorites with you already, but getting to meet a new baby is the top of my list of favorite things to do. But Luke continues, "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, in the highest heaven, and peace to earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" There's a party going on in heaven, and the shepherds are so excited to be included. "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger." They hurry there and they found him, but the shepherds are in awe of this incredible moment. They are so happy that they get to be some of the first ones to meet Jesus. But it continues and says what they did next. "And after seeing him, the shepherds had told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. They immediately take this news and spread the joy." This is exactly what they should have done. It's what God wanted for them to celebrate and party because the Savior of the world had been born. Their rescuer had arrived. Luke writes that when they shared this, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The people couldn't believe it either. They were in awe. This little town of Bethlehem that was so sleepy before was buzzing with excitement. But then there's Mary. Do you remember her? While the shepherds and the townspeople were throwing a party and celebrating, Mary responded in a different way. And it is one of my favorite verses of the Christmas story. Luke writes in Luke 2:19, "But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often." For Mary, it had been a long night. It had been a long and difficult 9 months. A lot had happened in that 9 months. Maybe you can relate. Some good news, she was planning a wedding, there was a pregnancy announcement, and then there was some bad news. There was a pregnancy announcement before a wedding to a man that wasn't the father. The wedding was off, and then it was back on again. There was a cross-country trip on a donkey while being 9 months pregnant. There were precious moments learning to be a wife and experiencing the glow of pregnancy mixed in with pain and rejection, as she was most likely the talk of the town. And when she's at her most vulnerable and in need of support, she finds herself in a town that was not her home, most likely surrounded by Joseph's family that didn't have room for this scandalous relationship. So Mary delivers the Savior of the world not to an adoring audience, but to a barn full of animals, smells and noises that could not have possibly brought her comfort. And as she is reeling from the emotional and physical pain of childbirth, some rough and tumble strangers appear. These men most likely didn't have the social graces to know how to meet and greet this precious child who would become their rescuer. But Mary welcomed them to this moment because she recognized that all of this excitement, wonder, and pain that she had experienced to get here, and most likely would experience again, was not about this moment, but it was about the person who was now resting in her arms, the person who was now her responsibility. Of course, it was a night worth celebrating, and I picture Mary with a sleepy smile as the shepherds tore off to share the excitement that they had. But for Mary, and even Joseph, there was a lot to process in this exact moment. They needed to catch their breath and to rest and to adjust to their new reality. For them, the party could wait because resting with this person, resting with Jesus, was enough for them in that moment. For you, maybe a lot has happened in the last 9 months. Some of it, I hope, has been good. But some of it probably has been bad. And some may have left you feeling indifferent or hopeless and just worn out. You have too much togetherness with some people and not enough with others. There have been some humorous moments and some moments that have brought trauma. Hopefully this year has brought some fruitful times, but it also might have brought some dreadful times too. If you have had a bumpy 9 months and you've been overwhelmed and you are tired, or maybe you would say you're underwhelmed with what you have to work with this Christmas, there is not enough to go around. You don't have enough energy, support, resources, or even time to celebrate. Like Mary and Joseph, you need a minute to slow down, do less, and rest more. You've been bombarded by change, and now you're staring down the list of great expectations that come with the Christmas season, and it's all just too much. We've all got a lot to process this year. If this is you, I want you to listen closely to this next part. If Mary could hold all of these things in her heart to think about them later when she was not in pain, not emotionally exhausted, and maybe even in her own bed, you can too. The party can wait. It is not going anywhere without you. Simply resting with Jesus is enough because the gift of Jesus is enough. Christmas isn't about the party. It's about the gift that God gave us, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ, who left his place in heaven to come and rescue a weary world. God gave us Jesus as a gift, and he gave with no expectations, but with a simple message. Jesus himself explained this to a priest named Nicodemus. When Nicodemus was asking Jesus how a person could be saved and was struggling to understand this message himself, Jesus told him in John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son that so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Jesus is a gift to us from God because he loves us so much and wants us to live with him. It's that simple. It's not given to the one who has the best Christmas lights or whoever drives their kids 6 hours to visit the Polar Express. It's not awarded to the one who has the best matching Christmas outfits or whoever cooks the biggest feast. God has no great expectations from us to inherit eternal life. He simply says, everyone who believes and who receives my gift will have it. Because receiving the gift of Jesus is enough at Christmas. I imagine Mary spent the next 33 years processing the gift of Jesus and the events surrounding his birth. Mary must have thought about that night that Jesus was born so many times and wondered what it all meant and what he meant for the world. She knew Jesus was special and that he was meant to save the world, but she had no idea how. Because I'm not sure Mary even fully understood that God's message of love was as much for her as it was for the shepherds who burst excitedly into that stable on that holy night. When he kept her up all night, I bet she thought, Son of God? When Jesus stayed behind in the temple at 12 years old, instead of traveling home with his parents, I'm sure she shook her head and thought, Emmanuel, God with us, really? And when she watched him be hated, beaten, and whipped, she must have thought, what was all this for? But I bet when he came back to life and she looked into those same eyes that she had stared into the night he was born, I'm sure Mary was finally ready to party. The message of Christmas is Jesus, but who Jesus is and what he came to do is not just for Christmas time. In fact, Jesus is for every moment. He can be celebrated any time of the year, and there is no expectation of a party when we're ready to celebrate. There is simply an invitation that we would receive him as a gift and rest in him as our Savior. There is a party waiting for all of us in heaven when we fully accept this gift, and that party isn't going anywhere without you. What if this year you excused yourself, we excused ourselves from the expectations of the party? What if we did less, spent less, and rested more? What if we simply reflected on the story of his birth and celebrated that we have received the greatest gift in Jesus and rest in knowing that the gift of Jesus is enough? I hope you will join us next week as our pastor, Trey Kelly, continues this series, Simply Christmas. And I hope that as you rest this week, you remember how loved you are. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the incredible gift that we have in Jesus. And I thank you, God, that he is waiting to be received when we are ready. God, I thank you that you have no expectations from us, but that we can rest in your love, in your joy, in your peace. And this season, Father, may we be reminded in the chaos, in the hurt, in the pain, that you are present, you are with us, and that you love us. Thank you for the amazing gift of Jesus. May we remember that he is for every season of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.